Welcome to episode 2 of What's on Joe Mine. It's a fan cast about the world of G.I. Joe. It's for the fans by the fans. I'm Gary, a.k.a. Commander-in-Chief. Joining me once again on the Skype line, he's the most dangerous man in podcasting, Greg, a.k.a. Crosshair. Hey, Greg.
Hey, everybody. How's it going?
Also joining us, our tag team partner, hailing from parts unknown, weight unknown, and is the only host who has their own born-on date in their alias. Welcome, Chuck, a.k.a. Chuck Dog 1999. Howdy, Chuck.
Hey, how you doing tonight, Gary and Greg? Good to hear from you.
Good, good. Well, gentlemen, we survived to see episode 2. What'd you think of that?
I've been moved to tears.
I was not quite as emotional, but I enjoyed it, yes.
Well,
get in touch with your feelings.
That's another podcast. but tonight we have a fourth member on the line. He's been around forever. His website is a staple of every Joe fan's daily browsing. He's a community super fan and the last remaining person who will actually admit to being a Sigma 6 supporter. Excuse me. We tricked him on the show by telling him that he would be auditioning for Glee, and he agreed. So, ladies and gentlemen, please welcome the original General Hawk, Justin.
Hey.
All right.
You don't want to hear my singing voice, right?
Well, you know, we've already started talking about karaoke off air today, so, you know, there's still hope, right?
Crank up that Just a Gigolo.
Tell me right now, I'll go get my guitar.
Well, remember, we are interactive here at What's On Joe Mine, so here's how you get in touch with the show. For the time being, if you have any questions, comments, topics for the show, or anything you want to tell us, you can still find us on the off-topic forum on Joe Declassified. For the What's On Joe Mine thread, just find that, post away. You can also send us post personal messages on Joe Declassified by finding our aliases and clicking on them. You can also find us on our podcast on iTunes, and also on whatsonjoemine.podbean.com. And you can subscribe to both if you like, or just one. But we are on iTunes. You can search us right now. Just did it today just to confirm, and we are there. Also new this week is our show email address, whatsonjoemine@gmail.com. And our Facebook page. Just search for What's On Joe Mine on Facebook, click like, and you'll add us to your news feed. So get searching, clicking, and typing with your questions. We want to hear from you. But before we get started here tonight, the news of the week undoubtedly is the death of Osama bin Laden, and I don't think anyone here, either on the staff or listening, hasn't been affected in one way or another by the events of 9/11. It may be debatable, but no other collecting fandom has as much military involvement as G.I. Joe. Politics aside, to all the veterans, to all the first responders, to all the current military service members who we share this hobby with, we thank you. We thank you a lot.
Definitely.
Amen.
Yep.
And real quick, since it's on my mind, once time around the room, starting with Greg, then go to Chuck, then Justin, name your favorite Joe SEAL.
Oh boy, I'm gonna go with the unpopular pick in the shipwreck from 1994.
Boo!
Sorry, I had to.
What you got, Chuck?
Torpedo, since he's the only one Joe I can remember who was a SEAL.
Justin.
Well, I'm a little biased right now because I'm in the midst of reviewing the latest convention set, so I got to say the newest convention wetsuit is my favorite at the moment.
I have to go with Chuck and old school on Torpedo. SEALs take ninjas any day. A special shout-out real quick before we start to Joe Declassified owner Sam Damon, a.k.a. Nomad, who is deployed in the parts unknown in the active theater out there. Please stay safe and come home really soon. So that's it. Let's kick this off. Greg, let's recap the last episode and take us on to our first topic.
Okay, last week we talked quite a bit about the Canadian Joe Convention, which is coming up this June. Just gave a little background about how the convention started and what it's all about, basically, and about the exclusive figures and vehicles that'll be there. And then we talked a little bit about collecting 101, and our topic for that week was how do you store your stuff and a little bit of how it's displayed as well. And then we talked about what we got in for the week, like always. And then for this week, we're going to start talking with Justin, I believe.
Right.
Well, Justin, you get to be the inaugural break-in interview for us. So, tell us a little bit how General Joe's became to be, and any tidbits of where you want to go in the future.
Well, it's a pretty long story. I've been around the community forever. Feels like it to me. It probably feels like it to everybody else too. They're probably sick of reading my stuff right now, I would think. I started out with an old AOL account, actually, in the mid to late 90s. On the old dial-up internet, using Angel Fire, doing a little. It actually all started out in 2000s, really, when I brought my web presence in, because I was living down in Western Mass at the time, and a local Toys R Us was actually the first brick and mortar store in the nation to get the new Real American Hero collection figures at the time, those old school blue package two packs with General Tomahawk and Dial Tone and Cobra Commander and Chameleon and all those guys, and nobody else had them at the time, so I got them in my hands and decided, hey, you know, if people want to check these out, I'll take some pictures, do some reviews, and the rest is
So Justin, I myself have been a big fan of The Price of Peace and then all your Dio stories following that since they basically started. It's actually what got me back into G.I. Joe. But how did you even start writing Price of Peace, or when did it start, basically?
The crazy thing is that whole story actually started when I was about 14 years old or so. I was a big fan of Hit and Run at the time when he first came out in 88. I actually wove this whole story in my mind about kind of the end of the G.I. Joe team and being born into a new team, and kind of had those ideas in my head all through the years, and kind of, you know, as I was a kid, as I was probably way too old to be playing with my toys, I was still playing with my toys and coming up with these storylines and stuff. And by the time, you know, I got to a spot where I could share my ideas, I had all this stuff just rolling around in my head and just kind of all came pouring out, and I was able actually to get it all down on paper. I'm notorious for starting something and not being able to wrap it up and to finish it. And I've kind of been a writer off and on for almost my whole life. And typically I start something, write a few chapters, and move on to something else. And that was something I'm actually really proud of, being able to get finished up. But it was kind of born. It was born and kind of festered in my head for probably about 10 years, 12 years before it finally came out.
So how'd you make the transition from actually writing, you know, the actual written piece to then decide to do Dio stories?
I got to blame. There's a guy who's not real active in the community anymore. His name's Tim Frankovich. He was around back in the late 90s, early 2000s. Created something called Iconoclasts back in the day on the old Bivouac Customs Oriented Message Board, which is now transformed into Joe Customs. That was the Bivouac back then, and Tim was a member of that forum, and he actually kind of gave birth to the whole Dio story idea with Iconoclasts. And the minute I read that, I was like, wow, this is really cool. I got to figure out how to do this. And as geeky as it sounds, my wife and I got married in 2000, and my gift request was a digital camera so I could start taking pictures of my toys.
Yeah, that's pretty bad.
I'm guessing he didn't save so he could take pictures of his toys. He probably said, so we can make lasting memories together.
Of course.
Right, yeah, that's, yeah. Life, yeah. Of our children and whatnot, yeah.
but yeah, that's kind of how it was born. And you know, when I was in college, you know, before I met my wife and stuff, I'd always dreamed of being a comic book artist. I was a huge comic book fan. You know, but I can't draw worth anything, so I kind of had to take what I could get as far as getting my thoughts on digital paper. So it ended up being through photographs, and that's one of the benefits to being a G.I. Joe fan, is that they're so poseable that you can, you know, effectively tell a pretty decent story with these little pieces of plastic.
Chuck, you have anything?
Yeah, I'm just out of curiosity. How many figures as of today do you have? I mean, I'm just curious how large the collection is.
Oh, good Lord. I haven't kept count in a while. Back in the 90s, I keep on shooting back to that era, or the early 2000s at least. There's a website called actionfigurechecklist.com, and I used to keep track, and at one point, you know, in, you know, 2001, 2002, I was up to about 1,600 or 1,700 figs at that point. And I've been buying them nonstop since then. So it's, I've got to think it's around 2,500 at this point, maybe even 3,000. I don't know. Way too damn many, that's for sure.
Justin, those of us that are members of the club get the monthly newsletter. You've been participating in the newsletter for quite some time, but your level of participation has increased now with articles concerning Renegades and reviews on current product. What's your role with that right now? How does the newsletter come together? And anything that you want to add, you know, talking about your involvement with the club?
Well, you know, it's just, I'm just kind of a contributor, and really it's what I'm doing is what anybody else could do, and really it's what the club kind of encourages everybody to do. You know, you can see fans out there kind of talking about the newsletter, saying how thin it is, how it's, you know, it doesn't have the content they want to read. All I can say to them is, you know, do what I do, and if there's stuff you want to see in the newsletter, you know, drop an email to the club or stop by the club message boards and volunteer to write something up. That's basically how I started. I kind of started doing one of my Dio comics, you know, Dio stories, a while ago. I think I did those for going on 3 years, because they each had 12 installments, and I did three separate stories. And at some point, it just got to be too much. I just didn't have the time to put into doing a full-time Dio comic. You know, if I'm doing my own Dio comic, it's one thing, but when, you know, there's a newsletter depending on my timeliness, then, you know, that puts a little added pressure on me. And if I don't feel like I can deliver my best stuff, I'm not going to keep doing it. So I kind of, you know, I talked to the guys at the club and kind of pulled back a little bit and, you know, volunteered to do the articles and stuff that I knew I could generate on a regular basis. And, you know, I was so fired up about G.I. Joe Renegades that, you know, the minute it was announced, I just contacted them immediately and said, hey, can I do something Renegades related in the newsletter? They're all into it. And they actually suggested, well, if you're doing something for Renegades, you know, I'm sure the collectors are into the Real American Hero comics, so why don't you do something on that too? And that's what I've been doing. And, you know, I've been kind of, I just submitted some reviews for the Adventure Team stuff. You know, we'll see if that makes it into the newsletter. I would imagine that possibly I'll do some stuff for the con. Basically, I'm just trying to contribute. I'm just trying to share the wealth. I mean, the hobby is only what the collectors make of it. We're all participants. You know, I'm hoping there's not too many window shoppers here. You know, you're in the hobby because you want to participate. You want to be involved. So all I can say is just get involved. And that's really all I did. I just asked them, how can I be involved? And that's all it takes. And, you know, you get a handful of people who want to be involved, and you can get a good product together.
So you mentioned Renegades, and I think one thing that sets you apart more than a lot of collectors is that you're more than willing to accept whichever new version of G.I. Joe comes out, whether it was the new sculpt, and then it was
Sigma 6,
and then it was Renegades. But, I mean, so looking back at new sculpts, like, how do you see those figures now? I mean, how do they compare to what comes out now, in your opinion? Or do you think they still have a place in your collection, essentially?
They have a place. You know, hindsight is always 20/20, and you can always look back and say, oh, you know, geez, look at, you know, compared to what we see now, some of that new sculpt stuff really just doesn't hold up. And I'll admit it right off. I mean, it can look a little dated, and they tried to take the O-ring format, tried to make it more modern, but they couldn't quite figure out how to balance the two. You know, they started out in 2002, you know, taking the O-ring out, doing the T-crotch figures, and there was such a crazy fan outcry. You know, a demand for the O-ring to come back. They got the O-ring back in, and the figures probably weren't designed real well around the O-ring, so they kind of had to cobble it together a little bit, ended up with proportion issues, and you can totally see that. I think from a design perspective, a lot of those new sculpt figures still hold up real well. I mean, figures like Barrel Roll and Blackout, you know, Bomb Strike, you know, that Wave 7 Snake Eyes, the new look Croc Master, even like Claws and Claws Commander. From a design perspective, they're really cool. It's just the sculpting and, you know, the actual tooling and manufacturing process didn't really do the designs any favors. And kind of, you can look back, you can see some pretty ugly looking stuff. And I think if you could take some of those designs and maybe, you know, do them in the newer style, I think you could get some really kick-ass looking figures. You know, a Pursuit of Cobra Barrel Roll, or even, you know, Claws Commander and the Blackout, I think would look awesome in a newer style, taking those designs. Even the same exact, you know, crazy Cobra patterned elbow pads the Blackout has in the new modern era kind of sculpting format. I think there's a lot of really cool potential there. They just, you know, it just they weren't quite sure where they wanted to go, and they found some kind of compromise that didn't really work for either format, which was a little unfortunate. But there's still some great stuff in the line, most of it design related, not necessarily production related. And I'll be honest, I find it hard to kind of work them into my Dio stories or into my universe, as you might say, just because, you know, they don't fit. They don't have that retro classic feel of the old school stuff, but they don't have the new coolness, the new sculpting, the new design elements of the new stuff. They're just kind of floating around in the middle there, and they don't really belong very seamlessly in either format.
That's, I guess that's kind of how I feel the same way. I mean, you look back on some of the figures, and the ideas that they had were good, especially when you start seeing the design drawings that were created by like Drax Hall, Jim, design companies. I mean, they just look awesome. And then you look at what actually came out, and you're like, oh, they tried hard, but they couldn't quite translate it to three dimensions. So,
yeah, I remember seeing it was a convention. I wish I could remember. It must have been 2003, which I guess what Gary was at San Francisco.
Yeah, San Fran. Yeah.
And I'm sure Gary was there at the Hasbro presentation where they showed card art for the upcoming Valor versus Venom figures. And you look at the Cobra Viper and the Alley Viper, and everybody's like, wow, that is amazing looking stuff, because they just showed you the artwork, the Draxel Jump artwork stuff. And the figures come out, and they've got legs up to their armpits, and their torsos are, like, you know, all scrunched down, and the execution just wasn't there. The designs were awesome. The execution just kind of fell short.
Yeah, I guess we all kind of hope that, hopefully, if the line keeps on doing well and the 30th anniversary stuff does well, that maybe we'll see them revisit some of the characters that were introduced in the new sculpt. But I guess we'll keep our fingers crossed until then.
Well, James Cavanaugh appreciates the new sculpt, let me tell you that much.
I don't know. Are you sure he does after spending all that time in that book? He's probably sick of it by now.
He probably burned his entire collection. All right, moving on. Gary brought up this topic last week a little bit, and it is hated Joe words. So, Gary, do you want to talk a little bit more about your most hated Joe word?
Yeah, I kind of tossed it out last week, and I know Justin just said, and he has a Joe universe or a Joeverse, and that is my my number one most hated word.
You know, I don't mean to interrupt, Gary, but I consciously avoided saying Joe first just because
I noticed that.
I'm kind of not wild about that term either, so I tried to work around it as much as possible.
Yeah, you know, there you have the Marvel universe, and then you have, you know, the IDW universe and the Devil's Due universe, and I guess that's good enough. but, you know, you see these posts like, you know, where does Headman fit in your Joeverse? I don't care. You know, some, and then, you know, where does Osama bin Laden fit in your Joeverse? I don't care. You know, it's really just a fictional toy that you know, is based off of the mind of Larry Hama and, you know, Marvel Comics, and that's really your Joe universe right now. And the whole my Joeverse, you know, is the Joeverse of your Joeverse type thing, is it gets a little old after a while. Put too much thought into something that just, you know, should be really, really enjoyable. So Joeverse is my number one most hated Joe word.
I'll go with mine while you guys are thinking of yours, but mine is Hasblo.
Oh, you stole mine.
Sorry.
Oh, yes, Hasblo. Yeah. Way to show respect to the company that makes our favorite item.
Yeah. Luckily, like, thankfully, the guys at Joe Customs have taken it and made it a parody now of the word, because it used to be people would seriously be like, geez, Hasblo, why'd you guys have to pick this color for something? Or I don't know. It was just, anytime they wanted to make fun of what the company did, they would say that, and it just drove me crazy. So it still bugs me to today. But, I mean, you're in the collecting community as a fan of what they produce, obviously. Otherwise, you wouldn't be on the boards talking about it. You may not agree with every decision they make, and God knows we don't, I mean, obviously, but it's just, you got to realize they're human beings that are creating what we're enjoying, so, I mean, give them a modicum of respect. I think that's the least we can offer them.
Yeah, and a lot of fans just don't understand everything that goes into every single element of designing and producing one of these toys. I mean, if there's something wrong with the figure, you know, probably the design team knows it, and there was, you know, budget concerns, or they got a damaged thing back from the factory, but it was too late to retool it. And you know, I'm not trying to absolve Hasbro of all blame. Yes, they screw up like everybody screws up, and you know, I'm still mad at them for this Wave 6 Crocmaster. I don't know what the hell that's all about. But I mean, chances are, you know, there's a reason why something happened the way it happened, and whether it's monetary or whether, you know, something happened along the way, it happened. But yeah, I agree. Treating them with disrespect is not the way to get your point across. That's for sure.
Oh boy, geez. If you don't like Hasbro, stay away from any Transformer site. That's all I got to say. that word gets thrown around liberally. I think my least favorite Joe word would have to be apologetics or apologist. Basically, as I understand it, it's, you know, the term used for people that, you know, some fans will perceive excuse whatever Hasbro does.
Oh, you mean like Justin?
Yeah.
blindly supports whatever Hasbro does, you know, and things of that nature. And it was actually funny. It was on Justin's site that I first was introduced to this word. I think it was during a very spirited debate towards the end of the Rise of Cobra line, where it basically looked like that this was going to be the end of G.I. Joe for a while due to the lackluster response. And, you know, I mean, yes, it was a very ugly word, but something beautiful came out of it, and that was the Shore Patrol. You know? And that, to my dying day, will be my favorite Joe word. So we got my least favorite and my favorite.
And let's go ahead and toss out as a honorable mention, Fanboy.
Yeah, that goes hand in hand.
Yeah, yeah, pretty much. Let's see, we also have Dayglow. There's one that I seem to remember. Midnight Chinese is another one, yeah. Fail. it's funny, you know, when you spell it, you know, P-H-A-I-L. You know, after a little while, that gets old. And I think that's actually kind of slowed down for the most part.
Epic fail,
right. Oh, a haul. My Joe haul. A U-Haul is something you put behind your car. I don't haul. No. You know, it's a bragging term and gives people a chance to brag. But those are the kind of the ones that came up on mine. You guys have anything else that you can think of that...
You know, it's kind of, again, it's become a mockery, but I know that the death of the line terminology always drove me nuts, and thank goodness it has become a, you know, a joke now, and people can kind of say it jokingly, but for a while there, it wasn't a joke, and, you know, every third post you would see would reference how, you know, too many snake eyes are going to be the death of the line, and all this is going to be the death of the line, and... You know, it got to the point where, geez, you were wishing for the death of the line just so people would shut up about it. But...
It's only funny now if you don't spell it correctly.
Exactly. Yeah, you gotta make sure it's misspelled and. Yeah.
All caps, lots of exclamation points.
D E T H.
Yeah.
Yeah. Death. Yeah. So. So there you go. The lexicon of Joe hated words. If anyone listening would like to add to that list, feel free to email us at whatsonjoemine@gmail.com with your submission. And if
or
Greg,
your email.
with your email and submission, and if
don't
Greg,
call us apologists.
And if Greg likes it, he'll read it.
Yeah, we'll see.
All right, Greg, what's next?
All right, moving on to the next section of collecting 101, which is a big one. I don't know how we haven't really discussed it yet, but army building. So the big question is, do you guys do any army building? And if so, is it just specific figures, or do you do all of them basically, or and we can get into that a little bit more. So, Gary, what do you army build, if anything?
I used to be – I would buy every time I saw a trooper. I would start – you know, I'd just grab them. Then after a while, you realize how much money you spent and how many of these things you have around. And, you know, you try to set them up and then you misplace one and they all fall like dominoes. With the 25th line – I kind of didn't obey any limits either until I got to the movie line. I said, hey, now it's just five. If it's an army builder, just five or six of those.
How many of those crabby Neo Vipers do you really need?
Exactly. And since they gave you the the Skittles rainbow of flavors of all the Neo Vipers, really, do you need to have five green ones to have five blue ones and to have five bronze ones? So I really kind of limited the army building there, but it was a premium back in the day. A lot of the people that are now on board for the modern era 25th line didn't really remember how hard back in the slimmer times how it was the army build. Maybe Justin, you might remember, but that Toys R Us three pack, the trooper and the officer, would go on eBay and it would regularly sell for $50. I mean, easily $50. And then the club came out with their convention set, and you could get 12 troopers plus, the twins and the Baroness for $150. And like, hey, that's actually saving me money to do something like that. And that's probably one of the reasons why that set was so popular, is because it was such a premium ar an army building, and Vipers especially at that time. But it gets expensive after a while, so I'm back down to five of everything, and that also will include the Steel Brigade. I will army build him a little bit, but that's what I do. What do you do, Chuck?
I actually don't. I only really started army building intentionally with Pursuit of Cobra, where I would just, and I basically limit myself to two of every figure. With the 25th anniversary line, I would get books, since I would buy the cases, depending on the assortment, I would end up with maybe two Vipers, two Resolute Troopers. I know I had two of the underwater troopers, two of the Ninja Vipers, and that wasn't on purpose. And then with Rise of Cobra, the only figure I bought two of was the Pit Commando, but that was because one was the regular, one was the variant. But it's funny, just through like all the various boxes and stuff, like I have like something like five or six Crimson Guards, just because I had the single pack, and then they came out with that like three commander set, and then there was something else, and but usually two's my limit.
So what about you, Justin?
I used to do it pretty heavily. I've trimmed back a little bit. Back in, I'll start talking about the glory days of the late 90s, early 2000s again, when collecting toys wasn't such a hot commodity. I would be able to stock up a little bit, and I have probably 25 vintage Crimson Guards, maybe 20 or 25 vintage Vipers. Nothing huge, but a nice little assortment. And I used to kind of rationalize it and tell myself that, well, I'm doing a dio story, I need a lot of Cobra troops in the shot. But the truth is, you're never taking a picture where you can see all 25 Crimson Guards, so you really don't need that many. So kind of as the years gone on, I've trimmed that back a little bit. If I see something that really excites me, I'll get a few of them. I've got, I think, seven or eight of the Pursuit of Cobra Alley Vipers. I've got five or six of the Cobra Shock Troopers. I just got a box with three more of those Ross, what turned out to be Ross exclusive range Vipers with Warwind things. I've got six of those now. But I don't go crazy. I can't go crazy anymore. I've got, even just counting my single figures, I've got way too much stuff. So if I start, multiplying by fives and tens with these army builders, it's going to get out of control pretty quick. So, and especially now with Hasbro's tendency, with the Rise of Cobra to kind of, like Gary said, the Skittle rainbow of colors, with all these different Neo Vipers, you can buy one of each and still end up with a nice little squad of them. So, I try to play it easy. It's going to be tough for the new Cobra Trooper, though. That Wave 5 Cobra Trooper looks awesome, and I'm going to have to hold myself back from not buying a whole ton of him, but I'll try to keep it reasonable.
Yeah, I try to do the same thing. I figure for like the more common ones, like the Viper or the Cobra Trooper, I'll probably get four. Maybe even with the Pursuit of Cobra ones, I'll pick up some more because they'll be more available. But for the specialty troops, like the Pear Viper and the Jungle Viper, I pick up like two, just because, I mean, I figure there's not going to be a whole crap ton of them anyways, so I try to keep it limited. But sometimes, especially when TJ Maxx and Marshalls had the 25th figures for cheap, and you could pick up like the Flint disguise, where he's dressed up like the Cobra Trooper for like $2, I picked up a ton of those because they were so cheap and they were everywhere. So, yeah.
That's, I'm kind of limited a little bit in my neck of the woods because I don't really have any local stores that carry this stuff. So if I do want to army build, I got to do mail order, so shipping comes into it too. And so generally, a Big Bad Toy Store, like with the Shock Troopers, they still had a ton in stock, so I just pre-ordered five of them to go along with my set that I bought. So those are easy, but stuff like the Cobra Viper and the upcoming Cobra Trooper, if BBTS doesn't have them in stock, or if Small Joe's doesn't have them readily available in stock, I got to kind of pick and choose and decide when I'm going to buy chunks of them when shipping's not going to kill me.
Justin's not lying. Not that I've stalked him or anything, but I have family that lives about a half hour south of him in Vermont. There's nothing up there. I think the close.
Even,
what's that?
I think really the only big box department stores that are really prevalent in this area of Vermont are the Walmarts, and every single Walmart I've gone to they haven't been carrying Joe stuff in almost a year now. So.
Yeah, the next, I think you're near Lebanon, and then next biggest city maybe was Springfield, and then farther south it's Keene and then New Hampshire. So, there's, when Justin said there's nothing, there is nothing. Now, I will say that is where, when I was a kid, I got my my vintage Baroness at a, I forget what department store it was at the time, but it was between Bellows Falls and Keene on the highway there, but there's nothing up there. So that's why Justin has a nice sponsorship with BBTS. So buy from BBTS. There's our weekly plug, by the way.
I guess we can all, I think I remain eternally optimistic that because we've heard the rumor that Walmarts are going to start restocking with stuff that they kind of let slide for the last couple months or year or whatever, not just, basic things, but possibly also hopefully action figures. So when they do get something in, it's probably going to be wave 5 or wave 6, and then we'll all be happy because there's Walmart's up the yin yang no matter where you are.
I'm hoping so. I do know, I think somebody on his tank actually reported finding wave 6 in the Walmart somewhere. I mean, my real local Walmart, the one that's 10 minutes down the road here, they haven't carried G.I. Joe items. They haven't carried a single Pursuit of Cobra item. They carried a very scant few Rise of Cobra items. They never carry Joe at my really local one. So I don't know how likely it is that they'll start carrying stuff again. But it's kind of an ugly situation. I remember being a kid, and up here the department store at the time was Rich's, and I could go into Rich's department store, or pretty much any given day, and pick up 8 G.I. Joe figures if I wanted to, or Kmart or Ames at the time, all these old school department stores. And you just don't see that anymore. And
that was it. It was Ames. That's where I Ames, yeah, that was Ames, yeah.
Yeah. But it's just too bad. But I don't know that people will jump on and blame Hasbro for that. But Hasbro would love it if all the department stores in the world would carry their product. It's just a matter of finding the right people who want to buy it. And I don't know if G.I. Joe will ever reach that point again, but, we can all hope.
Just for the record, not everyone has Walmarts, Craig. in New York, they're actually protesting building the first Walmart in New York City.
Really?
Yeah, well, you have to keep in mind, Walmart is a non-union franchise or the chain store, and New York is a very big union town, so it's, they will block it. I know there's a few when you go upstate, but they're very, very sparse.
Ah, okay, gotcha.
Yeah, so I mean, I miss out, so that's why I hate, exclusives, because people talk about, the Walmart exclusive this, the Walmart exclusive that. Yeah, I'm paying $50 for it on eBay, thank you.
So army buildings, that if you wanted to do it, that's just that much more difficult for you.
Yeah.
All right, so moving on, we talked a little bit about Wave 6, but I know a few of you guys managed to get in some, especially Justin just posted his reviews to generalsjoes.com, and Chuck also mentioned that he got in some figures. So what did you guys get in exactly for Wave 6?
I got in pretty much the whole assortment. I doubled up on a couple of the troops. I've got a couple Cobra Vipers, a couple Rock Vipers, a couple Iron Grenadiers, and then every other figure beyond that. And what you see is kind of what you get. They've all got reused parts, as we knew were coming. I gotta give props to Crazy Legs, though. That figure is awesome. I didn't think he would be all that great. Just looking at the pictures online, and other parts didn't seem to really blend together all that well. But, you know, I don't know. I kind of go by first impressions. And, you know, the minute I open a toy, you know, the first 5 minutes that I get my hands on that toy really kind of spell out how I feel about it. And Crazy Legs, when I got him out of his package, I just couldn't put him down. It was just so fun to kind of pose and balance and put in different positions. And he was great. He's one of the highlights of the Pursuit of Cobra line. And also
five stars.
Yeah, he's definitely one of the better ones I've seen. And considering he's got all these reused parts, I think it's really amazing what the designers were able to do just by kind of getting the right parts together and getting something out there. He's awesome. He's really cool.
Well, actually, since I did ask beforehand, I think, Greg, you responded. You wanted to – I can go into detail. I'll start with Crazy Legs since I actually have him right here in front of me. Well, he was actually going to be the first figure I open anyway, just because when I see figures that are posed in, like, those action poses, I get nervous. Just because, here's a little tip. When you see a figure is, like, bent, with all his joints bent like that, the longer he's in the package like that, those joints are going to warp. And I got nervous because when I got Crazy Legs open, his left ankle was tilted slightly, but thankfully I was able to straighten it out. And he's pretty – I mean, like Justin said, he's pretty solid. I have him holding the Firefly old-school folding stock machine gun, and I like he has that separated trigger figure that he's at. He really is holding it. I actually have always liked that gun for some reason. In the other hand, I have him with the little pistol, and, you know, thank God, he holds the guns well. I never had a vintage Crazy Legs, and to be honest, all I know is from Justin is that, you know, this was a guy who's best known for dying. So, you know, I mean, he seems kind of cool. You know, I like to spend some more time with him.
Well, he did break Thrasher's nose once in the Marvel comics. He's got that going for him. But
oh, okay, there you go. I mean, that's good. One that I was really looking forward to, just because it's one of the figures I can remember clearly having and liking as a child, was the Rock Viper. And I gotta say, I have him. First of all, I don't know if you guys noticed this, but in his grappling hook backpack thingy, there's a little hole, and you can actually shove the spear in there.
Nice.
So that's actually. Yeah, no, it's right to the. If you're looking at him straight on, it's on the left side. It's really nice. Just went straight in, and, you know, so I got the little spear there.
Question is, what the hell is he supposed to do with a spear once you take it out?
Throw it.
Well, you know what?
Pistol, and he's throwing spears at people?
I thought he was going to be a desert campaign figure. So he's an Arctic figure.
Yeah.
But then, you know what? It made sense to me with the spear. He probably uses it to break ice on the ground.
Yeah. There you go.
You know, like a little spear fishing. But I did have some problems. I have him with, like, his sniper rifle, and it did take me a really long time to get the sniper rifle in there. And as Justin mentioned in his review, he can't hold it with two hands with the backpack on. I assume when I take it off, he'll get that extra click in his shoulder that he'll be able to bring it over. And that's keeping in mind, he does have the extra articulated hands. Other than that, you know, I have him holding the pistol. He looks really nice, and, you know, he can zip up and down his backpack. I do like how they idiot-proofed the grapple hooks, and they actually put knots in the string that it can only go so far in one direction and in the other. You know, so that's always good for me. You know, make it safe for Chuck.
I've got Rock Viper's file card right here, and according to the text, that thing is actually – it's a tactical spear. It's not just a spear. It's a tactical spear.
Well, tactical spears can be used to break ice. I mean –
that's really pissing you off, maybe.
I have folding knives that are technically tactical folding knives that I use to open boxes, so, you know, such is life.
I have a tactical bottle opener, so
–
I have a bottle opener on a chain. So, well, actually, no, it's not on a chain anymore. It's on a nylon cord. But the final guy that I think I was really looking forward to out of all the troopers was the Viper. And I got to say, it took me – at first I was like a little disappointed because, you know, his hand was just for some reason too small to hold that rifle. And it's the same thing with all the other iterations of the Viper. It's like that there's always something wrong with the hand when it comes to holding the gun. But I do have him in like a fake two-handed pose. Unfortunately, the wrist doesn't bend the right way for him to hold like that forward grip.
Yep.
And, you know, and I was really kind of hoping, because if you read the file card, this isn't just a rifle. It's like an assault rifle with a grenade launcher that can also be used as a sniper rifle. I would have liked a little modular play with it, that maybe flip up the handle or something, that you could like use it as that sniper rifle. But I am glad he is a desert campaign, because, I mean, the desert campaign has been very light on your generic troopers. But those are the three I opened. I am looking forward to digging into maybe Snake Eyes, because of the different masks and stuff. But, I mean, after that Wave 3 figure, I mean, there's just no way any Snake Eyes from this point on is going to be able to hold up to that other one. So yeah, it's not even fair to compare.
Yep. Yeah, and I agree with you on the Viper hands. It's just I don't know what it is. Why can't they just make a perfect Viper figure? I mean, they can do it for all these other crazy legs. These hands are perfect. They've got the straight, and for some reason, when it comes to the Cobra Viper, the backbone of the Cobra troops, he can't. He's got this awesome gun that he just cannot hold really, really well.
Yeah, I was thinking about dropping, you know, going for a Sideshow Viper just so I could have a Viper that would be able to hold the rifle decently. But actually, no, wait, that's actually a question. I mean, Sideshow should purposely make that rifle impossible to hold just so it's faithful to, like, the figure.
Otherwise, people are going to complain. It's not the same as the original.
And that would send the message now, wouldn't it?
So there was Crocmaster, there was the Snake Eyes. Who's the last guy I'm trying to think of that I...
Iron Grenadier, probably?
Oh, yeah. Him, there's no rush. I mean, him, I like the old black Gestapo-looking Grenadier. So, CIA said it this time. And, you know, yes, I like the steady gun, but, you know, maybe down the road they'll do a more streamlined Grenadier. But this guy, like I said, I buy two of every troop builder now. I'm only going to have this one Grenadier. I'm not going to go nuts looking for another one.
Now, Justin, on your Viper, what happened to his lid? Did it just kind of come off?
Yeah, it was crazy. You know, I do my normal, you know, I don't try to boil and pop the guys with the chrome heads because you can wear the chrome off. So I just kind of tuck my thumb under his chin to just pop the head off like I'll do when I'm doing reviews to get their vests off and stuff, and put my thumb under there and popped up, and two pieces came flying off instead of one. I don't know. I don't know if the glue was dried or what, but it clipped right back on and it seems to stay okay. So it's not a critical thing, but.
One, I haven't got a chance. I have one. That I got from China, but it's still packaged up because it doesn't have the hub sticker on it. So I'm kind of dealing maybe with a little bit of a packaging variant. I don't know. It's kind of interesting where do they apply the hub sticker in the packaging process?
Good question.
Apparently, the person that got it in China got it before that process.
Yep.
But I did notice from your review that the goggles are not removable, which is nice. I really like that. It's one less thing to find. My cat has walked off with or something like that. No more little tiny part. It was cool originally, but I appreciate them molding it on this time.
All right. And once again, I got nothing in this week. It's been very sad around the household lately.
Well, you're saving up for Canada.
Yeah, that's my excuse, I guess.
I purposely went to go pick these figures up just to be able to talk about them for the podcast. That's how dedicated I am.
I swung around to a couple different places today hoping I would find something new, and all I saw was a low light at Walgreens, the same one that's waiting for you, Chuck. And then the Wave 3 Snake Eyes. And I was like, well, I have both of them already. I don't need to get them. But...
You know what, Greg? You should just go ahead and pick them up for me because I made my run like last weekend and it was like nothing.
Okay. I will do that tomorrow.
Chuck Caves.
Well, no, because you know what it is? It's the timing because you figure it's March 3rd. March 3rd. It's May 3rd. Nobody's putting anything else new until Darker the Moon hits. And, I mean, Joe is already losing shelf space to the Pirates of the Caribbean. So when it gets closer to that launch time, I'm figuring it's going to be pushed to the side even more. But
yeah, if we didn't get Air Tours on the shelves for Easter, we're not getting them for a little while, I don't think. I mean,
yeah. Oh, and by the way, if I can just do a public service announcement, I know we were discussing the Skittles, Colors of the Rainbow, different colored Vipers. From personal experience, please do not try to eat your action figures. They do not taste like candy.
And now you know.
And knowing's half the battle.
And there you go. And there's your choking PSA.
On,
yes.
Choking on an action figure is the other half.
Well, this week I got in, you've probably seen them on eBay, the odd hodgepodge of O-ring figures that have been coming out of China. Coil Trooper with Stalker's head. Looks like a convention, one of the convention twins with gold shoulder pads on each shoulder. A really wacky looking convention Baroness with a different head and different crimson arms, which is proof that, you know, if anyone from the club ever listens to this stuff, your crap is still floating around China. because there's people, you know, selling these in lots of five or whatever out there. And, you know, I picked them up because they were just oddities. And pretty much the convention stuff still from those particular sets. I mean, heck, those two of them are from the inaugural 2002 set. I mean, still fetch a pretty decent amount if you try to go look for the twins by themselves or the Baroness by herself. You know, you can go out and get basically more than half the parts and fill in the rest with other parts and probably save yourself a boatload of money. But yeah, I picked up some of those, and they are interesting. Shared them with some of the fellas here locally. You know, are they worth picking up? No, they're just oddities that, you know, I found, thought they'd be fun to have. That's it. So that's what I got this week.
All figures are specials in their creator's eyes.
All right. So I think that about does it for this week. I know next week we're probably going to talk a little bit about Renegades, if Justin will grace us with his presence again.
I'm going to give it my best shot.
Awesome. All right.
Have a headset that works next week.
Hopefully. We'll talk about the cartoon mostly, but we'll also talk about the upcoming action figures. And I believe we may have a special guest next week as well. Is that right, Gary?
Yeah. Next week we'll have our first non-host interview, because Justin will be a regular member of the program from here on out. But we'll be joined by author James Cavanaugh Jr., a.k.a. Cuckoo-san, to talk about his new book titled RAHC, A Guide to Second Generation O-Ring G.I. Joe Figures, which he just debuted at this year's convention. So send your questions to whatsonjoemine@gmail.com or on our Facebook page, and we'd be happy to ask James any of your questions that you might have on your mind.
All right, very cool. Gary, do you want to see us out?
That's it. Well, looks like we've had an interesting another 45 minutes or so. But, again, thanks for downloading. Thanks for listening. For Justin, for Greg, and for Chuck, I'm Gary. Have yourself a good day, and we'll catch you next episode.